This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Wednesday, March 4th marks the initiation of the Weaving Words Festival, or Utlu Noye Kuni. Morning through evening performances and panels take place. This includes a virtual presentation of Powhatan Macbeth, an indigenized version of Shakespeare's Macbeth. The opening gala at Ominika Arts Center in downtown Prince George Clarity features a stacked lineup. And joining me in the studio today is one of the festival's passionate coordinators, UMBC professor of Canadian Lit and Creative Writing, Dr. Rob Buddy. Thanks so much for joining me, Rob.
And thanks for having me, Ian.
Could you mention a few of the guests at the opening gala and perhaps just a couple authors you're really looking forward to experiencing at the 2026 Weaving Words or Utlu Noye Kuni Festival?
Sure. So we have two nationally known authors that are coming in. Richard Van Camp, who writes children's books. He writes horror. His most recent novel is called Beast, and it is a beast of a novel. It's great. But he does a lot of work in film and comics, and he's just an energizer bunny. He is Tleet Cho from Fort Smith. He teaches, and he's just so charismatic that you will fall in love with him instantly. Everybody does. Also, this year we have Katharina Vermette from Winnipeg, who is Métis and a novelist and poet. Her most recent book is called Possession. Also, closer to home, we've got a musician formerly known as Saltwater Hank, who goes by Gum Simone. And he will be singing. His most recent album is entirely in the Tsimshian language. And we also have Kim Gucci and Carolyn Roberts, an educator and children's book author. Kim Gucci will be known to most of your listeners as a local superstar.
As I'm familiar with it, the Weaving Words Festival isn't strictly about the written word or authorship. It is about the many different ways in which words form communication or art. And the festival manages to draw on all kinds of artists, authors, and experts in our region of Northern BC, which is fantastic because a lot of people don't necessarily think of Northern BC as having a healthy arts and culture scene. But we do.
We do.
And it's definitely on showcase at this festival. But, you know, maybe it wasn't always like this. You know, 2026 Weaving Words versus the inaugural festival. What has changed? Can you illustrate anything about the origins of this gathering for us? Any history? Maybe you can fill our audience in.
Sure. I mean, the first thing you need to know is that this is the longest running Indigenous literary festival in Canada by a long shot.
Wow.
So,
really?
You know, I don't think we celebrated it enough that we have that here. But yeah, it began in 2005 and it was a collaborative idea. Back then it was called the Aboriginal Storytellers and Writers Festival. And Paul Michel, who was the director of First Nations at the First Nations Center here at UMBC, and I, he wanted to get Indigenous authors in, and I was bringing Canadian authors, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, and we said, hey, let's start something. And his interest is in oral storytelling. That's what he did his graduate work in. And so he was interested in orality and traditional storytelling. And a lot of Indigenous authors across the country were also interested in traditional story, but were putting it to the page, either in poetry or in novels or in short stories or in film and all sorts of things. And we said, well, we would like a festival that would explore the conjunction of those two. You know, that traditional oral storytelling that is passed from generation to generation, and then this burgeoning renaissance of Indigenous literature in Canada, where you have Eden Robinsons and, you know, the Wabgishig Rices, who are bestsellers, right? They're just taking over in a wonderful way, right, the storytelling of the country. So that was the sort of brainchild that Paul and I had which sounds intimate. And it was. It was, it was you know, a labor of love. We both really liked what we came up with. And in the first years, we had authors like Thompson Highway, and we had Lee Miracle, and it gained momentum. And yeah, it's just kept that momentum with, you know, an organizing committee that has evolved over the years. And Paul left UNBC, so we had a few lean years where I was sort of holding the fort, but holding space as a non-Indigenous person. And now it's out of the Office of Indigenous Initiatives, and it's Indigenous-led, and I'm just a part of it, and it's wonderful.
It's had quite an evolution over the years. It's taken place for just over 20 years then, and there are certain things people come back for again and again, I imagine, even back to all the way in 2005. But I've got to ask, what's different this time around in 2026? What do you see as different for the festival this year?
Well, every year we have a theme. You know, a few years ago we had a theme of honoring elders. We've had youth themes. This year our theme is a land, language, and story. And we decided this year, because we're talking about language, that it was important to have the Daketh version of that. So land, language, and story translate as Yinka Ganek Adada in Daketh. Just like Weaving Words translates as Atlu Noye Kwani. So honoring the language. So we just had an opening event this morning where we had some experts on the Daketh language speak about the health of the language. And I played a recording of an elder telling a Daketh story all in the language for the first time in 50 years.
Wow.
That traditional story has been told in the Tlaytlay dialect of Daketh. So celebrating that language and its connection to land and story.
I would imagine then that a lot of the focus on material this year is looking at that connection between land and language, the inspiration that comes from that connection. Mm-hmm. Has there been any performances or any material that you've already experienced that you feel was particularly impactful on you so far, one that really drew that theme forward in your mind?
I mean, Marian Erickson, who teaches Daketh here at UMBC, gave a talk on how she teaches the language, especially to children, right? And the ways in which it's transmitted and the ways in which there are certain words in Daketh that can't be translated, that there is no word in English for that Daketh word. And I ran into that as well. I did the four levels of Daketh language here at the university because it's free for faculty to take courses. And I just thought, okay, I needed to know a few words for things around me in the language of the land, right? And ran into, you know, translation problems where it was a concept in Daketh, a worldview in Daketh that isn't in English, right? And so that, you know, it speaks to the importance of language preservation to preserve that worldview, that culture that's embedded in the language.
Right, that tends to highlight the phrase different ways of knowing pretty strongly when you understand that there are just whole concepts of a language that will not directly translate into English.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
makes you wonder what are the stark differences between these ways of seeing the world. It can inform a lot of perspective. Which is why it's important to share these ideas, through a festival especially.
And the connection with between story and land. You know, there's a phrase, storied land, where family stories are actually connected to territory and territory boundaries. So, you know, we have colonial views of territory having to do with First Nations. And in that tradition, it's the story that marks the land, right? And is intimately connected to it.
Katerina Vermette is one of the guests this year, and she's an author of poetry, fiction, children's lit, even graphic novelist. She's attending this year. What is the process of actually finding, inviting, and bringing in this talent to our humble city? These are what I would think of A-listers in the world of Canadian literature and Canadian Indigenous literature.
Well, we have a great organizing committee. It's like dozens, you know, like 24 people around a table, you know, brainstorming. We'll sit around after this year's event and brainstorm for next year. And we come up with a list of authors. We come up with a theme and think about which authors might speak to that theme really well. And we're well known. as a destination that writers desire. We treat our writers well. We honor them. We pay them. You know, it's hard for writers to make a living, and we pay well for their work. Richard Van Camp has called our festival the Storyteller's Storytelling Festival, because it's partly about the connections between the authors and the storytellers that come in, right? They meet, or they have met in other places, but they get a chance here to really spend time together and bond. And it creates this network that survives and goes way beyond the festival 4 days.
That also illustrates the next question I had, which is, how are you able to keep some of these big names and big wheels coming back to the festival? Mm-hmm. But it sounds like a bit of a community has been established, which mm-hmm. I suppose is prone to happen after roughly 20 years of, of holding an event. Eh?
Yeah, and word gets around, you know? Yeah, if Prince George invites you, if UMBC invites you, go. It's a good time. Yeah.
To my knowledge, you've been able to, within 20 years of history of keeping this primarily open access, there's either a little to no charge for
all the events. No charge. I don't remember any event that we've ever charged. It's all free and open to the public. And one of the things about the festival that it services the university community and students. So several of our events are sort of housed in classes where a writer is going in to speak to a class, but it's open to the public so other people can come in. But then community events. So especially proud this year of an event that we've coordinated with Tlaitle Tenei, the band office at the House of Ancestors, for Tlaitle community. So it's a kind of bridging that gap. Some UMBC struggles a little bit with, you know, being up on a hill, that reaching out to community. So events at the Art Gallery, events at Omnique Art Center, events at the House of Ancestors, that reaches a different audiences and creates a connection between UMBC and the community.
And that event is happening Thursday, March 5th, featuring Kimguchi and Richard Van Camp.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us anything about that? I'll leave our audience on a little bit of a note there.
It was in consultation with the education representative at the band office, and we originally discussed having an event out at Shelley, out on reserve, wanting to give back to the community there and bring an author or a performer or an event out there. But then when we started talking about it, there wasn't really a venue that would work. So they suggested, what about the House of Ancestors? And then they said, we really would like Kimguchi because she's well known. And then Kimguchi knows Richard Van Camp from previous visits, so they know each other.
Through 20 years of hosting a festival.
they're friends, and we thought, okay, this is perfect.
Is there any note or invitation you'd like to send out to the community?
Well, like you said, tonight is the opening gala, and I think it's gonna be amazing. You know, Gump Simone and Richard Van Camp and Katharina Vermette all there. There's going to be some youth performers. There's going to be some jigging. There's, you know, it's just going to be a great event. There'll be some food. It's free. Omnique is such a great environment for something like this, very open and inviting. I would also point people to the Friday night event at Books & Company. Last few years, we've involved our great independent bookstore, and they've started doing events again there. And so Friday night, Richard Van Camp and Katharina Vermette reading a more sort of formal literary reading, so reading some fiction, whereas probably tonight, especially Richard, will be storytelling and whooping it up.
Excellent. If you want to get some good storytelling and maybe some jigging in, that'll be
tonight. 7 o'clock on Manika.
Wednesday, March 4th, Books & Company on March 6th.
Friday at 7 o'clock.
Okay. And all free of charge.
All free of charge, always. And food. So come share some food, share some stories. Meet some great folks. Come as you are.
Yeah, first come, first serve. Yep. Let's get some stories in.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing some insight on this year's 2026 Weaving Words Festival occurring here in Prince George Tlaitle Tenei. That's also Utlo Noye Kuni. And with us in studio today is Dr. Rob Buddy. Thanks so much for visiting.
Yeah, thank you. Merci.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.